As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Wednesday, July 20th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, today is Wednesday, and we have Wendy Wilson joining us. But first, let's get to the market report today with gold. A little pressure on gold today, with it being down about $18 at $1,314. We have silver down 54 cents at $1,944. Platinum was down 9 at $1,087. And palladium, I don't know why that was up 15, at $675. I'll have to try to find out why, you know, palladium would be up. It's been a little bit stronger than the other metals the past couple of days. And you have the DX, US DX today at 97.04, and you have crude oil at 44.85. And the paper markets today, you have the Dow up 36 points at 18,595. You have the NASDAQ up 53 at 5,089. And the S&P up 9 at 2,173. 10-year yield, 1.58%, up 0.02. And the Euro, 110, down 0.05. And, of course, the world is bubbly. All markets were up overseas. So,
haven't they heard about Brexit?
We'll be talking about the markets when we get back from our break. But first, we have Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs joining us today. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
Hey, I thought we'd talk about acid reflux. Anybody got heartburn?
Not me.
Nope, not me.
All good. Okay, well, you know, it is a concern for a lot of people.
But
somebody
of us
does.
Are capable of giving it to other people. We may not have it, but we can give it. Go ahead.
Well, according to Healthline.com and general practitioner Dr. George Krukic of San Francisco, he says 60% of the population has digestive problems, including acid reflux or GERD, the gastroesophageal reflux disease. So that's like 7 million people that have sick digestions. And patients usually, you know, they go to the doctor, they follow their doctor's advice, and they're just managing their symptoms with the medications. So why are so many people experiencing acid reflux and digestive issues? So I thought we'd check it out today. And it's just not adults that are experiencing these problems. We're told that this acid reflux affects 42% of infants and 84% of children. And also the elderly don't escape it. 27% of them have the problem. And they did say, according to the research, the statistics show between 1998 and 2005, hospitalization shot up for this kind of illness by 216%, and it causes 1,100 deaths a year. Here's a quote from Dr. Dean Shehusen. He's an MD at the American Academy of Family Physicians. He says that, quote, "I see people daily who have been treated for GERD. It may not be why they're in my clinic, but I definitely see them every day," end of quote. So nearly everyone experiences a little indigestion or heartburn from time to time. It's most often accompanied by overeating, or if we're eating types of foods we don't normally eat, and we see a spike in these problems. People go to the drugstore, get the over-the-counter stuff, especially around the holidays. But acid reflux, that is reoccurring for a lot of people, shouldn't be swept under the rug. Use some common sense. You want to make sure it gets treated, because you can also develop other problems in addition, like abdominal pain, respiratory problems, tooth erosion, damage, of course, to the esophagus, and having swallowing problems, spasms of the digestive tract, chest tightness, hoarseness, a feeling like food's always stuck in your throat, or throat tightness, wheezing, and even asthma can be a development. So other conditions that could be prompting it is wearing your clothes too tight around the waist, smoking or breathing a lot of secondhand smoke can bring it on, or even having a hiatal hernia. Now, gastroenterologists, that's who you'd be referred to if you have this problem seriously, and they'll tell their patients, avoid some of the trigger foods and beverages, and they are fried foods, citrus, chocolate, coffee and tea, beer and wine. Now, beer actually doubles the production of stomach acids. Also, soda, all alcohol, cabbage, mayonnaise, milk, salty foods with the processed salt on them, and preserved or smoked meats. So, hey, Al, do you want to take a guess how much money acid reflux makes the healthcare industry a year?
Well, I bet it's certainly hundreds of millions. It's probably a couple billion.
Well, it's $33 billion annually acid reflux brings in. So patients who seek the medical treatment, they'll probably have to pay for a lower upper GI series of x-rays where you drink that barium solution so it shows up on the x-ray. Or they may have an endoscopy, which is a fiber optic tube inserted down their throat with possible biopsy of tissues. Then they can also have the esophageal acid level monitoring done and the mammometry measurements of their swallowing mechanism. And by the way, if you get an endoscopy, that on its own is $800. Here's a quote from another doctor. It's Nicholas Sheehan. He's a medical doctor at the Center for Esophageal Disease and Swallowing, University of North Carolina School of Medicine, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. He says this: the literature shows that 10 to 40% of the upper endoscopies performed for GI concerns do not conform to clinical guidelines. There is scant evidence to support the use of endoscopy in the diagnosing of GERD or acid reflux, end of quote. What do you think of that?
I think that's irrelevant. I think the important thing is there's good evidence that the endoscopy increases somebody's bills and payments.
Right. It's a moneymaker. Now,
maybe that's actually what gives people GERD, the medical bills. That might be.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, you know, there are some drugs now people need to be aware of. Besides the over-the-counter antacids, proton pump inhibitors, which actually cause a lot of dependency, we'll get to that in a minute, and your pain relievers, actually, the medical solution now is two new drugs. Okay, one is called Socraftate. What this does is coat the esophagus and the stomach with this film, and it's supposed to cut down on your acid. But the side effects are headache, dizziness, insomnia, diarrhea, vomiting, gas, feeling like your stomach's always full, pain when you do eat something, difficulty swallowing, and it has a lot of allergic reactions of rash. It could swell up your face, your throat, your tongue. You can have trouble breathing. And also, this treatment doesn't interact well with antibiotics, antacids, tetracycline, and thyroid medicines. And the other new treatment is called metoclopramide. It's a drug that they use to control the esophagus contractions and helping to move food out of the stomach faster. It has some hideous and serious side effects, and including your gastrointestinal problems like diarrhea, vomiting, and stuff like that. But it also has effects on mood change, anxiety, confusion, makes people depressed and suicidal. That's a bad drug.
That's a bad drug. If the people kill themselves, they can't keep going back to have their symptoms treated.
Well,
so should go off the market.
Well, and also this drug doesn't interact well with antipsychotic medicines. So forget that.
You've got to be crazy to take it.
Right. And also doctors do prescribe a lot of anti-inflammatory drugs because, you know, the antacids and the reflux cause tissue damage. But let's get to some of the over-the-counter stuff that people are chucking down their throats for this. Most people use a lot of antacids, and they can experience diarrhea and constipation because of the aluminum and magnesium salts in those products. Also, calcium carbonate produces that you get in Tums can cause constipation. In some cases, too much of this calcium can cause kidney failure. So you shouldn't be on these things for more than a few weeks, but people chew them week after week and year after year. Now, antacids also interfere with the absorption of other types of drugs people are on, like heart medicines. So the popular drugs like Tagamet and Xanax tend to produce headaches, diarrhea, dizziness, and a rash. And long-term use of these types of drugs put you at risk of stomach cancer. So any drug for heartburn and antacid, the experts say you shouldn't use for just for a short burst, no longer than 6 weeks, and then adjust your lifestyle because the reason you're having this reflux is lifestyle. So you want to do your homework on all medications, over-the-counter and prescribed. So also, there are some drugs that people use over-the-counter that can make acid reflux worse, and it can affect the esophageal sphincter muscle. So that would be your calcium channel blockers, dopamine, sedatives, pain relievers. Also, you want to watch the Fosamax drug they prescribe for osteoporosis. Also, potassium and iron pills, antibiotics, and non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like your ibuprofen, your Motrin, your Advil, your Aleve, these all make acid reflux worse. And typically, patients don't know this. They're not told that.
What do you think is the primary cause? You say it's mostly lifestyle and it's choices
right.
You make, but is there one that's predominant, or are they all just small ones and you get 5% out of this and 5% after that?
No. A lot of people, if they just change their lifestyle and then use some herbs in the interim to kind of calm down all the symptoms, you know, make them feel more comfortable, they can get rid of this in a skinny minute. One of the things they want to avoid is chocolate. That was on the trigger list, the food trigger list. And the reason is, you know, some people wonder why they get a little heartburn and reflux when they have a few chocolate chip cookies or a brownie. It's because chocolate has an antispasmodic or tranquilizer chemical in it.
and it anesthetizes the muscle at the end of the esophagus that closes off the stomach.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah. And the chemical in chocolate is called methylethylene, and it just makes that muscle really lazy and sleepy. So what happens is when you start to digest your food, it can pop open, and all that acid slop up into the esophagus. So it typically is chocolate eating is worse for people who have chronic heartburn and reflux. It usually doesn't affect people chronically that have heartburn once in a while. So
what about
really,
when you take it?
Hmm?
Is it more dangerous to take the chocolate right before you're going to sleep at night? You're laying down and then
you don't want to do that.
And it might not be as dangerous if you take it during the day?
Well, if you don't have chronic digestive illness and, you know, reflux, I think that'd be fine. But if you already have this problem, I'd avoid chocolate altogether. Also, you want to avoid overeating or eating heavy meals, bending over after you've eaten, you know, lifting heavy things and lying down before the food has left the stomach to the small intestine, because that gives a lot of people problems. Also, the reason this is a lifestyle problem is people are eating too much cooked foods, too much convenience foods or overly processed foods that creates more alkalinity. And they've also are on usually a salt-free diet, or they're using the processed salt, which is stripped of all its minerals, instead of the sun-dried salt, which is unprocessed, because what they've done is depleted their hydrochloric acid in their stomach and intestines. So when you use a sun-dried salt that has 84 minerals still in it, it puts the hydrochloric acid back in, and it doesn't create proton pumps to come on. So
Proton pumps are located in the wall of your stomach. Is that true?
Yeah, and that's where the acid comes in, and so doctors will shut them off with drugs, but what you really want to do is put a little bit more acid in the diet, and that way they don't come on as much. So it's sort of like fighting fire with fire. So they're coming on because it's too alkaline, all right? So what happens is, you know, if you just put some apple cider vinegar, you know, have like an ounce of that with your meals, more hydrochloric acid, use your salt, more hydrochloric acid. And also maybe kimchi, sauerkraut, pickled beets, fermented acidy type foods sprinkled into the diet is going to be very helpful. And then along with that, I like to use fennel seed to reduce gas and bloating, ginger root for nausea and vomiting, slippery elm will stop diarrhea really quickly, gentian root reduces the overeating, stops stomach aches, and also moves food out of the stomach to the small intestines much faster, willow bark and meadowsweet for any inflammation and pain, marshmallow root will soothe the digestive tract, and then fenugreek is good if you have any ulcer issues. So I haven't listed peppermint because it has too much of the menthol in it, and it makes acid reflux worse, so I haven't mentioned that. And also watch your cayenne, garlic, onion, and spearmint also makes heartburn worse. So those are my tips. If you're looking for some digestive herbs, Al, Melanie, the listeners, we do have them at thepowerherbs.com. The folks at Apothecary Herbs, you give a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663.
Well, we've still got another minute to go here.
Oh,
Wendy.
Well, all right.
You must have your clock set on daylight savings time or something.
I'm hitting the ground running today. Well, I mean, we also have the salt. The salt's amazing. I mean, 20 years ago, I discovered real salt. And I don't use Himalayan salt because it can have more shale in it, and that can clog kidneys. So the ocean sun-dried salt from France is the primo salt. And it has all the minerals in it. It's cardiovascular friendly, so it doesn't promote hypertension. So you can take a pinch of this salt and not have to drink water. So it doesn't dry you out. Also, it doesn't numb your taste buds, so you'll actually taste more flavor in your foods.
Yeah. All right, give us the contact information one more time. And one other question. Do you have a kit that's designed for dealing with the acid reflux, or do you have just a list and say you need this, 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 and this?
Well, all those herbs I mentioned are under our digestion tab. and you can read them and see what their benefits are. We do have a digestion kit, but it does have the peppermint in there. It wouldn't be a good fit for acid reflux users. Okay. So you could get the kit and then just not use the peppermint. But toll-free number is 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just want to remind the listeners, we got great prices here at Discount Gold and Silver, as everyone knows, and great shipping and great service. The packages of those American Gold Eagles and 90% silver, those were all sold at that very, very low price. We have some really nice AU $5 Liberty gold pieces that are selling for $399. Very nice dates, very beautiful coins, fractional piece. One of my favorites. You don't you know, because they're a quarter ounce of gold, the volatility, the price remains a little more stable. You don't get the volatility, especially when we have the bigger swings in the price of gold, the bullion price, the spot price of gold. So they're very stable along with the other fractional pieces, the $10 coins. So, but we got a great batch of AU $5 Liberties at $3.99. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 4188.
Got an article from U.S. News and World Report referencing the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. And let's see. The headline is RNC protests rage, but anti-Trump Trump organizers ask, where is everyone? It says low turnout and very few arrests come as a surprise. Activists marched illegally down the street, fought one another, and defied a downtown tennis ball ban. If we catch you with a tennis ball, you're in big trouble, boy. During the second day of the Republican National Convention. But as the excitement unfolded, some activist leaders wondered where the crowds were. Cleveland has seen far smaller protests than those at other recent conventions. Rivals the rage of from progressive. Progressives rival or exceed their hatred for the former President George Bush, and that's their rage at Donald Trump. And there have been very few activism-related arrests. It's almost like we're starting to live in a free country again. Look, I'll say this. This is from Noche Diaz. And he says, look, I'll say this. It's a good thing people aren't here. It's not a good thing that people aren't here in bigger force when an openly fascist candidate is being nominated. Why? I don't know the reasons. You'll have to ask them, Diaz said. He said this after an hour-long march by some two dozen protesters. And the march included an even greater number of reporters and likely even more law enforcement officers who rode bicycles alongside and behind the group. Larry Brester, executive director of Organize Ohio, said, I'm absolutely positively convinced the reason for the low turnout is the fear factor, and I think he's right. He goes on to say, people contacted me saying, boy, I would like to attend. But I've been hearing all about all this violence and people bringing guns and the huge number of police, and people just didn't feel comfortable coming to demonstrate at the Republican National Convention. I think the idea of fear factor is valid, and I think a lot of people are simply intimidated by the number of police shootings that we've had in the last couple of weeks, the sniper situation that we had here in Dallas. In theory, these snipers are looking for crowds. A lot of people are sitting back saying, I ain't going to any crowds. Right? And so it's interesting and it's ironic that the sniper, for example, here in Dallas, by shooting and killing, I believe it was five police officers and another half dozen or more that were injured, in doing so, he inhibited left-wing demonstrators from attending the Republican National Convention, coming down there to disrupt. I don't know that to be true, but that's my theory. I think it is fear that's kept people away from the convention and prevented these demonstrations. And I don't know what to make of that. Is this just a temporary thing where people are still enraged? Or, having seen a couple of people die, are a lot of protesters coming to a point, say, wait a second, we got to stop this before this gets out of hand. I've got to stop screaming at the top of my lungs, and I've got to actually start dealing with people reasonably, or somebody else is going to start shooting, and maybe we don't want that.
Well, I think Ohio probably did a nice job as far as separating the various, there was one section where you weren't allowed to take in weapons.
Ohio is an open carry. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that probably has a lot to do with it, too. And we talk oftentimes that gun-free zones is where your most crimes occur. And so, you know, everybody knows everyone's carrying. You have a tendency to behave yourself. And
mm-hmm.
why would you want to go someplace where, you know, you're going to have to, if you want to pick a fight, you might have to pick a fight with, you know, someone that is protected. So I think there's a lot of reasons. I think France, I think Nice. I mean, here you have large crowds of people. And, you know, we certainly all have this, you know, the radical Islam terrorist, and, you know, from that happening, you know, a week or so ago. So I think it's a combination of everything. But in part, I think Ohio probably did a good job in separating certain areas and keeping, you know, things calm. Certainly the presence of police will keep things calm. And so it's, plus it's hot. You ain't going to get people to go out when it's hot.
No, that's not true. I mean, that's the riot season. Melody, this is,
we're in 100-degree temperatures.
We are in the heart of the riot season.
I don't think we are. I mean, I don't think we are.
We don't riot around Christmas time in January when it's cold out.
Well,
we riot when it's blazing hot. That's conducive to rioting, and you would think it would be conducive to
Well, it isn't. So, it's not necessary. Not necessary, but so I think there's multiple reasons, but I will give credit to Ohio and for them arranging things. And certainly people are probably outnumbered by the press. I tried to watch the conference several times, but it's just really annoying because you have, you know, the reporters, you know, the people like, you know, on O'Reilly or those people yakking the whole time while what's going on in the conference, the convention, they're trying to talk too. So it's kind of, you know, they're over talking one another, and it's just like it just wasn't very appealing to watch on television. So,
you know, we talked a little about this before. A lot of people forget that it wasn't all that long ago that these political conventions, this is where the candidates were selected, right? It wasn't right now the political convention is simply they've had the primaries, the vote is counted, everybody knows who the candidate's going to be. These are just sort of an official congratulations ceremony for whoever's been nominated. But historically, the way we did this originally in this country, and really up until, I don't know, not so long ago, maybe 20, 30 years ago, the candidates were selected. Somebody from California is coming in, and there are a bunch of people supporting him for president. There are people from New York and Illinois and Florida and rest of that. They're supporting their favorite sons, and they cast ballots at the convention. And that's where they decided. They didn't have primary elections. And people were upset about that. They said these candidates are being selected in closed, smoke-filled rooms. And deals were being made, and people were wheeling and dealing, and they didn't necessarily reflect the public's best interest and the public's will. And they said, why don't we set up primary elections instead? Well, there's a problem with these primary elections. They are friendly. They are most friendly to the candidates who are most telegenic. All right. If you can come on like the candidate has been sent from central casting in Hollywood, odds are you can get enough people in the public to vote for you where you might get nominated to be president, the candidate for president from the Republican or Democrat parties. All right. This goes on through the entire primary season. People with television, television, television. Who is the candidate who looks most like John Wayne or Brad Pitt? Or who knows? I don't know. You know, and we tend to vote that way, where in the past, even though the Democrats and the Republicans might have selected candidates to a significant degree behind closed doors, they were looking for the best candidate they could find. And they didn't care if he was ugly, right? They didn't care if he was too young, too old, whatever. What's he got? Does he have real substance? And these old-time politicians, they selected on that basis. It wasn't the only basis, but we tended to get, I think, a higher quality of nominee than we do right now. Right now we get, you know, whoever is the sexiest man in the world, according to People magazine, he's the one who's going to run for president this year, representing the Republicans or the Democrats. So they're not necessarily, it's one of those things you have to wonder. You know, but in any case, in the original conventions, that's where all the voting was done. That was where all the wheeling and dealing was done. It didn't happen for several months of primaries before the convention. They just went to the convention, and everybody threw his hat in the ring. They squabbled, and within a day or two, a couple of days, they finally settled on, they might have one vote, two votes, 10 votes. But they finally settled on a candidate, and then they said, yay, you know, let's run. Let's get on with the election. It might have been a better thing. It might have been a better system. I'm not sure that we are well served. I don't know. Do you think we are well served by this primary system, Melody?
Well, I think it...
It gets issues out in front of the public, for one thing.
It does
get issues in front of the public in a way that just voting for someone at a convention, you don't really deal with the issues to a significant degree, and the people aren't educated to what the issues are.
I think if the public was a little more involved, you're right, they learn the issues, but most people don't understand, they don't know the complete process of how one is elected. And what I had a problem, even with this convention, was I believe it happened on Monday. I don't know all the details, but I guess they were, you know, changing or discussing the rules.
Mm-hmm. First day, I think.
For what was going to happen, not so much this election anymore, but 2020. That's what they were concerned about. So mm-hmm. They're changing the rules. So there's not another Donald Trump come 2020 or thereafter.
Well, maybe it would be okay if we had Donald, but not Melania.
Well,
okay, maybe they're changing the rules. Can't have a first lady who plagiarizes. How about a law against that?
So, you know, if it was a little bit easier for a lot of people to understand, maybe they'd be interested. Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they'd take an active part, maybe locally, a little more, if things didn't seem so complicated, or even if they had a choice over how one is elected and so forth. So,
you know, there's another point to it, though. When the Republicans, historically, when we had our presidents selected at our nominees, candidates selected at a Republican primary or a Democrat primary, it also happened at a time when the president didn't have anywhere near as much power to interfere in domestic issues as he does today. This is back at a time where maybe we didn't need to know about the issues in particular because he was at a national level and he had virtually nothing, no power within the states of the union. Today, the president interferes on almost anything, including whether you're going to have transgender bathrooms or not in your city and your state. It means that the president has become far more than merely an executive for a government that operates out of Washington, D.C., he becomes a kind of leader, a kind of dictator, a kind of king. And because he has so much more power, we have to have more involvement in his selection. But just the same, the main point of my observations is that we're selecting candidates that tend to be telegenic. They look good on camera. It's not always the case, but generally speaking, they have charisma. They have, you know, they're telegenic. I don't think those are good reasons to select someone to be president.
Howard Dean came out and said, hey, we figured out how to get elected. Most people, you know, it's an issue. They're concerned about issues up to about a month prior to the election. And then when they go into the booth, they vote who they like.
Yeah.
They don't vote on issues. They vote who they like.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what it comes down to, and that's why there's so much focus on the, you know, having someone that has a little bit of charisma and so forth. Because down at the bottom line, it's because, you know, it's how they look and who they and who you like. Not as what they would do for the country, but as a personality.
Well, you know, we had another level of insulation to try to make sure that we had the best candidates who, whether Republican, Democrat, Whig, Tory, whatever he was, the best candidate got to be president. And that after the popular vote and the popular election, we still had the Electoral College. which was in theory composed of people who actually knew what was going on in the political system and actually had a significant amount of knowledge and understanding. It wasn't just so Joe or Sally six-pack. They got up there and they said, look, we're voting for this guy. I don't care how the public voted. We're going to vote for this guy, and he's going to be the president. And in theory, it, you know, the argument is that the Electoral College would have given us a higher quality. Well, they would have ensured a generally higher quality candidate was actually elected.
And then you also, there's many out there who believe that the president is just a puppet anyway. It's just a figurehead that gets to do a little bit what he wants to do while he is controlled by others and has to promote the other's agenda regardless. So, you know, and there is a large degree of that.
I agree that there's a large degree, and part of the fascination with Trump is he comes across like someone who won't be controlled. I'm not arguing that he won't be. He may have to be taught to submit, but he comes across like somebody who's just going to say, like, I'm doing it. This is what I'm doing. I don't care about the rest of you puppeteers. We're doing it this way. That's part of the reason some people are very enthusiastic about Mr. Trump. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival.
I just want to make a quick comment. This morning I was on a program, and there was a lady that was at the convention. And what struck me about what she said was there was such a positive feeling there. It was a love of our country that was felt there that she hadn't felt, you know, in a very long time. You know, it was, you know, she says it was just, she says it really was different. And I thought that was, because it's true, you know, with, I mean, you go places anymore, things are just, you know, there's
negative,
so much
hopeless,
negative,
pessimistic.
Hopeless, exactly. But she says one thing she felt there was love of our country. And I think that is something. It's just not waving flags out there and saying you're patriotic or wearing a red, white, and blue shirt. You know, it's the feeling, it's the love that you have. You know, it's the love when you recite or when you sing our song or you pledge allegiance. I mean, it still brings tears to my eyes.
Well, you know,
and that has gone missing in this country.
Well, it's gone missing because the people who should be representing our best interests have steadily betrayed us for at least 20 years.
But it was good
obvious and apparent, and it wears you down to see treasonous whore after treasonous whore elected to offices of significant political power, and it just wears you down. I don't know. I mean, you got Clinton, and then we have Bush, and then we get Obama, for God's sake, and it's like, gee, how bad did it get?
It goes back a long time.
I understand it goes back a long time,
but it was the point.
It's been obvious in just the last 20 years or so. It's become obvious and blatant in a way that now it's right there in your face, and you say, what do we do about this?
But I wanted to comment on how what was coming out, something positive that was coming out of that convention. And I thought that was very interesting.
Well, I think it's a good thing. If that's an accurate description, it will be good for the Republican Party because it may quiet down whatever people are still there that are still angry about Trump being nominated. It may serve to unify the people that were there at the convention. I don't mean we'll get perfect unity, but if it's true that people could feel a love for the country at the convention, they will tend to be unified rather than divided. In theory, that should help Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing for what it's worth, while we were taking the break, Frank, our producer, he made a comment by instant message. He said Nixon lost because Kennedy looked better on TV. And he's right. That's the first instance where we really ran into our candidates were decided according to who was more telegenic. Nixon had that, I don't know, 3-hour shadow, 5-hour shadow, whatever it was. He didn't come across well on TV. Kennedy did. Kennedy was more telegenic. It made the difference. It might not have counted for 50% of the vote, but it made a couple of percent enough of a difference where Kennedy won. And then we get into these primary elections, and we see them all the time, and we won't elect people who are not, to some degree, telegenic. Or at least that's the way it appears. Got an article, not an article, a comment from yesterday. We were talking to Greg Hunter, and he mentioned an interview that he'd conducted recently with Catherine Austin Fitz. And part of that interview, Fitz, She said, speaking of gold, she says, people are afraid, and they're looking at what's going on with the leadership, and they're getting scared. They want to hedge their bets, and gold and silver is where you go when you don't trust the system. And that's not news, but it is an obvious point. Gold and silver is where you go when you don't trust the system. When you look around, can you trust the system? How many people do you think are in this country right now who trust the government? I mean, it's only something like 4% who approve of what Congress is doing. It's pretty good evidence that the American people don't trust the system. They don't trust the government. And even though the price of gold has not yet skyrocketed, unless something can be done to restore trust in the system, we're going to see a steady demand for gold and a steady price increase. We've got 3 weeks. We're 20 days of prices down here for 3 weeks. We're back to where we were 3 weeks ago. But then we'll watch and see. That's not a big deal.
Still, it isn't. Things go up and things.
Oh, of course.
And things go up and things go down. It's healthy. It's actually healthy to have a retracement.
This is one of the fundamentals. Do you trust the system? Do you trust the government? If you trust them, then you probably don't want any gold. Don't want any silver. On the other hand, if you distrust and you think these guys, you can't trust these guys. I think there's a problem here. I think I've got to protect myself. Well, okay, if you don't trust them, then gold and silver is probably a good idea for you. What else? I think I had one other one that from this was Rob Kirby. was interviewed by Greg Hunter and Kirby from KirbyAnalytics.com. And now this is interesting. This is an interesting argument from Kirby. And he says, Kirby says the metal central banks are most fearful of silver. The metal that central banks are most fearful of is silver. And Kirby says, silver is kryptonite to central bankers. Why? Because they don't have any. They don't have physical stores of silver to feed into the markets to beat the price down.
Wow.
So recently, to stem the rise in silver, they have been attacking the price of gold. The whole notion is that if they beat the price of gold down, silver will decline also, as in sympathy for the attack on gold. Now, I'm not necessarily arguing that this is a true state. I mean, Kirby, he certainly said this.
I would disagree.
I'm not arguing that this is the truth, but it's an interesting point. Bankers don't have any silver. That means
reasons. Maybe
they're not in a position to control the silver market to the same extent they are to control the gold market, and so they fear silver. Do you disagree, Melody?
I disagree. Bernanke said one day, I think it was either, could have been Paulson, but I think it was Bernanke, Ben Bernanke, when he first got into, and it was back there when all kinds of things were coming undone. And, you know, he made a comment that he watches gold every single day. It isn't about silver. It's about gold.
Now, let me finish.
I do believe they can manipulate a sector or two to which it can have effects on one of the other metals. You know, if you hit one sector, it can affect all the metals. But there's a lot of silver out there, and you know what? I know all the reports that there's a shortage, and, you know, I get all that, all the contracts and so forth. But do you realize, and the government did try at one time to confiscate silver, but there's no place to store it. You'd need Rhode Island three times deep to store it. It's not even logical to why central banks would want silver. That doesn't mean they don't buy it for their coins and so forth and whatnot. Silver can be run. Silver's a small market. It can easily be manipulated to the upside. But since the Hunt brothers, they did put a lot of stops in there to keep anyone from trying to run the market. There's a lot of things that go on other than just, now if I, and that doesn't mean I agree with them. That doesn't mean that I think it's right. But the facts are the facts. There's so much misinformation out there about the gold and silver markets. And then people get upset when the prices go up and down and they don't go up sky high when you have a country like Turkey when they have some sort of a coup, and because people aren't getting a real understanding of what gold and silver truly are. Silver's going to go up. Silver's going to go high. Gold's going to go high. The fundamentals for gold and silver, when you look at everything else out there in the world, I mean, what do you want to compare it to? There isn't anything. Oh, let's compare it to your bonds. Let's compare it to annuities. Let's compare it to, oh yeah, your CDs. Let's compare it to negative rates around the world. I mean, come on. Let's compare it to the Dow and the S&P that are hitting all-time highs. So what if the Dow goes to 20,000? It's an election year. You can expect anything during an election year. But what's underneath it? Why is it up there? I'd be taking gold and silver all day long over any type of paper vehicle, any type of paper investment, all day long. I don't care what it is. If you want to speculate, that's fine. Just make sure you back it up and you have it insured with gold and with silver. And it's a personal preference many times when it comes to gold and silver with what you want to hold. I could talk until I'm blue in the face. And if you're a believer in silver, that's okay. I got the best silver prices in the country for you, and the best service and the best delivery. And that's okay. But, you know, to say that central banks are scared of silver, I don't buy that one at all. And Ron Kirby, I know his writings. He's a very credible man. He writes some very interesting. I like some of the things that he writes. And, you know, but that one, I'd have to disagree.
Well, I agree that it's an odd opinion, but it's an interesting opinion. It's one of those things where you look at things from a different perspective and say, I wonder if that could be. Here's one more I've got from GoldEagle.com, and it's gold. The headline is Gold and the Perpetual Bonds Era. We talked about this just in the last couple of days, first time I'd heard of it, perpetual bonds. This is just bizarre. And the article says, perp bond thunder is the new gold price driver. Moreover, it has the potential to influence major markets for many years into the future. Japan may lead the way, lead the world with a sizable launch of perpetual bonds that feature no interest rate and no maturity date. All right? So you're going to lend money from to the government, and it doesn't have an interest rate, and it doesn't have a maturity date. Your bond will never actually mature where we say, okay, we have to pay it back, which, to my mind, this isn't a bond. This is a gift. All right? They're calling it a perpetual bond. I think it's just a gift. That's what it sounds like. But it goes on and says, Ben Bernanke is probably the biggest money printer in the history of America. He's now working hard to convince Japan to lead the world with a huge launch of perpetual bonds. It's a scheme to monetize the huge Japanese government deficit. Perpetual bonds are known as perps. If they are used in the manner suggested by Ben Bernanke or other top economists, they have the potential to allow Western governments to continue to operate huge fiscal deficits, with the only cost of running those deficits being the minor inconvenience, that's in quote, quote, minor inconvenience, unquote, of destroying the purchasing power of most fiat currencies. If we're going to use perpetual bonds, kiss the dollar goodbye, or the yen, it's going bye-bye. And they describe this. Bernanke is apparently supporting this, and it doesn't say who they're quoting when they say a minor inconvenience, but perhaps Bernanke. And when they talk about a minor inconvenience of destroying the purchasing power of most fiat currencies, they are talking about destroying the purchasing power of bonds used as capital in pension funds, resulting in the minor inconvenience of leaving retirees in poverty. And I look at this and I think to myself, my God, these people are mad. They're out of their minds. They are perhaps so terrified by what's going on in the financial system of the world that they're trying astonishingly incredible, fantastic, irrational, say, well, let's try this. What do you say? Who's with me? No, this is crazy. Perpetual bonds. And what did we talk about earlier? We talked about Catherine Austin Fitz said you go to gold when you don't trust the system. When you see Ben Bernanke trying to persuade the Japanese to invest in perpetual bonds that have no interest rates or maturity date, this is just a gift. Here, why don't I just take this money and give it to you guys in government and you do what you want with it. And if you ever have too much money, maybe you could give some back to me. It goes on to the last part of this. It says, perpetual bond issuance allows central banks to keep rates low, interest rates, which keeps governments happy. Yeah, that's probably true. The use of these bonds also dramatically reduces system risk because governments do not hit a spending limit wall. The only cost will be steadily rising inflation, resulting in steadily rising price of gold. Mm-hmm. When somebody says governments do not hit a spending wall, a spending limit wall, they are crazy. They are saying that there are institutions that can spend as much as they want and they never have to pay their debts. It's insane. It cannot be. And yet here we have people with PhDs that are saying, oh, yes, it can. We can do this. We're smart. Well, again, Catherine Austin Fitz, if you don't trust the government, you better get yourself some gold. You better get yourself some silver. Give Melody a call. But this is just evidence that if you trust the government, maybe you need to see a shrink. You need to think about maybe saying, well, I don't know. I think I'm going to go down. I have to lay down on the couch and talk to this guy for a while because I think I got some goofy ideas. I think I can trust the government. I don't think he can. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it so?
there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
Money, always sunny in a rich man's world.